Good morning, my friends. Take your Bibles, please, and go to Mark, Gospel of Mark, chapter 12. I'm very excited to share with you some things today that I think will bless you and hopefully lift you higher and higher in your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ and with our Heavenly Father, which is our whole point of being here. So thank you, Father, for putting great words in my mouth to share with my brothers and sisters. And thank you, Father, for them having open hearts to receive your message to each and every one of them this day. In Jesus' name, I thank you and praise you. Amen. And in Mark chapter 12, it says in verse 29, "And Jesus answered him, 'The first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these.'" Wow. So these two commandments really should be tattooed on the back of our eyelids so that we see them wherever we go, because God says the whole point of us being here is to love Him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and He puts these on pretty equal footing, to love our neighbor as ourself. And I don't know about you, but I remember the first time I read that, I said, "What? I'm supposed to love people? I don't even like myself. Why would I love them, for goodness sake?" But that's what the book says. Now, a lot of us talk about the first commandment, loving God. I teach extensively on number two, loving yourself. I'm always working that in the Word, sharing it with each other. But this love thy neighbor thing, boy, there's the rub. You mean I've got to like people? No, that's not what the commandment said. It didn't say you have to like anyone. It says you have to love them with agape love, the way Jesus loved you from the cross. When it says in the Bible, "Peradventure for a good man, some would dare to die, but God commended his love in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly." I have to raise my hand here. If you could see me, that would be me. I would have been the ungodly. He sure laid down his life for me. And there's no question about who God is and how good he wants us to treat our neighbor. In James 1:16, it says, "Do not err," which means don't make a mistake, my beloved brethren. "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from the Father, is from above, and comes down from the Father of lights," not darkness, light, "with whom is no shadow, no variableness, neither shadow of turning." Peg, read the page. Look. Every good thing comes from God. Therefore, every negative or bad thing comes from who? The adversary. Dun, 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 dun. So that means when I'm thinking unkind or evil thoughts about another person, where's that really coming from? Huh. I guess that's not coming from God. Because God sees us through the eyes of love. God sees us through the prism of His goodness. He sees the very best in everybody. If He didn't, He would have never sent His Son. And so I really was thinking about the goodness of God, because without that fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the Spirit, one of them is goodness. I know, it's really in there. You can read it for yourself. Then if a fruit of the Spirit is goodness, I should be manifesting that fruit. I should have that quality available to tap into because it doesn't come from my flesh, it comes from my spirit. Now, I looked up the word goodness in the dictionary, and there are a few definitions, and they're all good, but there was one I particularly loved. So I'll read you the other ones first. Goodness, the state or quality of being good. That works. It's sort of described in definition number 2, which says moral excellence, virtue. That's part of goodness, to have moral excellence and virtue in our own life. Number 3, kindly feeling, kindness, generosity. Have you read anything dark in there yet? No, this is all good stuff. Number 4, excellence of quality. That's the kind of lives we all want. Good lives filled with goodness, excellence of quality. And here's the one I love the most, the definition of goodness. The best part of anything. Boy, don't you just know the best part of you is good? The best part of you does have moral excellence and virtue. The best part of you is kind and generous. You may not have had those things before you were born again, but you've got them now, brothers and sisters. It also says that goodness is one's essence or strength. That's why so many people that are so selfish and angry and unkind are such wimpy people as human beings, because they're just a mess. Nobody wants to be around them. Nobody wants to hang out with them. People may be afraid of them, but they don't want to be around them. And then the 6th definition of goodness says it is a euphemism for God. It is a euphemism for God, as in thank goodness. Boy, I heard that all the time when I was a kid growing up here in Georgia. They'd say, for goodness sake, she don't have a good life at home, that girl's hurting. For goodness sakes, please be nice to her. Because when they said for goodness sakes, they got it. For God's sake, be kind to that person. For goodness sakes, don't judge. For goodness sake, be loving. And this is the key. We have it in us to do this. All we have to do is renew our mind, change our mind to who we are in Christ. Go to Acts chapter 10, verse 38, please. Acts chapter 10, verse 38. Good stuff here. Good stuff. Good stuff about goodness. Oh, I love you guys. I hope you love me too. In Acts chapter 10, verse 38, I have this verse on my mirror. I look at it every day when I get up. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with Holy Spirit and with power. And what did he do with that power? Did he lord it over people? No. He went about doing what? Good and healing. Doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Isn't it interesting? God doesn't make one caveat there. He doesn't say Jew or Gentile. He doesn't say rich or poor. He says that word again, A-L-L. God really is no respecter of persons. He wants us to reach out to this world and be good to everyone that comes in our path. Doesn't it say in the Bible that you and I are lights in a dark and perverse world, a perverse nation, among whom we shine as lights? Folks, if we don't shine as lights, why do we have anything to offer people? What sets us apart from the rank unbeliever? Somebody asked me a couple nights ago, you know, what is your life's goal? What do you see as your goal for your life? And it's real simple. Matthew 5:16, which is the verse that we founded Light of Christ Ministries upon. Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. Why? And here's the point. Glorify our Father who's in heaven. The whole reason I was inspired to choose the name Light of Christ is because I wanted the people that fellowshiped in this ministry to be so full of Christ, so full of light, so full of the love and joy of the Lord that people would say, I want what they're having. I want what she's having. I want to be like them. Why? They would see our peace. They would see our love, our joy. They would see our happy countenance. Nobody wants to look like, go to ask you questions about life when you look like a Holstein cow that hasn't been milked for a week. They're going to go the other way. Ark, ark, ark. Look, my number one goal in life is pretty simple. It's just to be like Christ. And part of that includes being good like He was good. Look at Romans 12. Romans 12 has one of those verses that kind of makes you scratch your head, but it's one of the things that sets Christianity apart from other pagan beliefs. Romans chapter 12, verse 21. Be not overcome or overwhelmed of evil, but overcome evil with what? Good. The best part of you. The excellent part of you. The kind part of you. The generous part of you. The forgiving part of you. This makes no sense, boy. Our old caveman nature, our old man nature, we want that eye for an eye and tooth for a tooth. And we look at verses like that and say it can't be in the Bible. When the truth is, not only is it there, but that's the real you, honey. That's why when you're angry and you're trying to get your own retribution, you end up feeling bad because it's not who you are. It says up there in verse 18, and this is one of my favorite verses in the world, if it be possible, as much as lies in you, live peaceably with all men. I mean, God is like kind of just wringing His hands and saying, kids, I've given you so much. You're my ambassadors for peace. You've got to be the peacemaker. This is a dark world. I put you here to represent me, not to be like them. Dearly beloved, verse 19, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. Send it away, for it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in doing so, you shall heap coals of fire on his head. Oh boy, I want to heap coals of fire on my enemy. Well, that's not what that means. It means you'll warm him through and through. This has to do with the people that started the fires in the Old Testament. You know, they'd carry the coals around and they would warm the houses they entered from house to house. And therefore, by being forgiving and letting vengeance be in God's hands, we're not overcome with evil, verse 21, but we are actively overcoming evil where? First and foremost, in our own mind. First and foremost, in our own mind. Because if we don't do it in our mind first, we're not going to put it forth in our actions. And that's why the happiest people in the world really are good people. Givers, forgivers, loving people. Remember Ebenezer Scrooge? Huh. A little story called The Christmas Carol, just to show what a non-good, what a selfish nature does to somebody. They may have money, they may have things, but they are dead inside until they learn the real joy of life is to tap into the best part of ourselves, our divine nature. It's our spiritual DNA. It's our fruit of the Spirit. And I'll tell you something, folks. Love longs to share itself. It's good. For God so loved the world, He gave. I think of that verse all the time about how the eyes of the Lord run to and fro the earth, seeking those He can bless. Do you realize that God is up there? All He's thinking about all day is how to be good to you. All He's thinking about all day is how to bless you. And all you got to do is turn around and open up your heart and let the sun shine in. Oh, let the sun shine in. Face it with a grin. You know, that great song about just opening your heart to the love of God. Because it says in Matthew 7:11, oh, thank heaven for 7:11. I'm in a singing mood today. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, and I know that every parent out there has tried to be a good parent and good to their kids. Look at this, though. 7-Eleven, Matthew. How much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give what kind of things? Good things to them that do one thing. Just ask. Ask. Believing that He wants to bless you. Believing that He has nothing but good in store for you. And that's why ultimately the greatest good we can do for anybody is to give them the truth of the gospel. Gospel in the Greek means good news. But the quickest way to get people interested in what you know is by you living it. You are the walking billboard for God. Like it or not, the minute people know you believe in Christ, they're just tick, 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 boy. They're assessing, the meter's running. They're assessing God through you. And I know some people out there saying, well, Peg, why do you expect me to be good? My life, I've gotten a raw deal. Look at the things that life has thrown my way. Look at the terrible things that I've had to survive. Wake up. Everybody has that. Everybody's got their little red wagon to pull. Everybody's got their sob story of something bad or tragic that's happened in their life. People, life is a contact sport, but the difference is you have a means to overcome it through Christ if you want to. So, you know, when I was an early Christian, because I have a childhood that'll pretty much match up with anybody's out there in the crappy department. And I used to think about how life had given me a raw deal. And one day God just smacked me across the head and said, Peg, wake up. You have been given the greatest deal in the universe. You don't have a raw deal. You've got a great deal. Eternal life. God said, life with me, your Father. Christ in you. I've given you my love, my joy, my peace. And I would add today, my goodness, for goodness sake, believe this stuff. Put on the new man so you have something to give. People, for those of us who know the Word, if your life isn't good right now, don't look at God. Go and look in the bathroom mirror. It's because you haven't risen up to simply believe Matthew 7:11. That it's our Father in heaven. It's His desire to give you good, good things so He can fill you to the brim with Him. And then you've got something to really give to other people. You know, God just told me one day, He said, Peg, get your thumb out of your mouth. Quit whining. Quit sucking your thumb. And start believing that you're a child of the Most High God. A child of the Most High God. Because I'll tell you, when I was still wallowing in my past, I was a nasty person. It was poor me, wah, wah, wah. And since I made that turnover in my mind to decide I wanted to live the good life that God has supplied for me, I tell you what, being nice and happy and blessed and looking for the good in things is so much of a more happy existence. The greatest thing about turning my life over to God and letting Him fix me is now I can stand myself. Now I can stand myself. Now I like living with me. You know, I used to be miserable and angry all the time and full of wrath because wherever I went, there I was. I could leave a location, but I couldn't leave me. And I had to say, it's me, oh Lord, I got to change me to really have, if I want to have something to offer mankind, I got to start and clean up my own front porch before I try to clean up their backyard. And so just think about, you know, doing good feels good. It adds to our own mental and physical health and well-being. But you know, it's hard to live this way if you keep wagging around the same old anger, the same old resentments you've wagged around for 40, 50 years. You're probably tired of hearing yourself complain. Why don't you just make a decision today to let go and let God? Just say, Father, this place in my heart is still raw. Heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, make me whole, and I shall be saved. And goodness gracious knows if there's anything I can do to expedite this, you've all got my number. I'm willing to help anybody. And by the way, we've seen a lot of miracles in the last month in light of Christ because people are finally getting ready to let go of some of this baggage. Well, you know, God is just so God. He does. He's really up there all day trying to think of ways He can bless us. And just before I got ready to do this teaching, I looked out my window and I saw a beautiful fawn, a mother deer, walking up the slope of my backyard, just taking her time, not a care in the world. I was looking at the beautiful grace of her neck, the way she moved every time she took a step. I was looking at the beautiful coat of fur she had on. And then no sooner was I just electrified to see this beautiful fawn, this beautiful mother, two little fawns, couldn't have been more than 2 weeks old, little twinsies, came up behind her, just walking in mommy's footsteps. Go to Ephesians chapter 5, please. I think of that verse, He makes my feet like hinds' feet and sets me upon high places. All I got to do is believe that. Believe it. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1. Here it is, my little dear. Be ye therefore followers of God as His dear children. Agapetos. Agape is love. Agapetos, little offspring of His love. Be ye means become which Greek? We're supposed to become. The day we get born again, we're not following Jesus too well. We're not following God too well. We learn to follow them. We become followers of God as dear children. And this is when you know you're really starting to follow God, when you start walking in love as Christ also has loved you, us, and given Himself for us an offering. When you really start getting out of your comfort zone and really care about helping other people as much as you care about yourself, you're pretty much on the way to a great life with Christ. Now, granted, God wants to certainly take care of you and give you time to do the things you need to do. But there are times, you know, people say God first, I'm willing to be third or something like that. I mean, basically, it means you're willing when the opportunity presents itself to get out of your comfort zone and help people. And we do that by being imitators of God, like those little fawn following that beautiful mother up the hill. Go to Matthew 25, please. That's what sets us upon our high places. You know, folks, have you ever thought, sometime just read the Gospels and just look at how much time Jesus spent just being kind. Just being kind to people. I think of the wedding feast where He turned the water into wine so the groom wouldn't get embarrassed. I think of the widow woman coming out of Nain, and nobody asked Him to stop, but He saw that her only source of income was dead on the funeral bier, and He just stopped the whole procession and went over and raised her son from the dead. The centurion, a Roman, who oppressed the Jews, said, "Please heal my servant, speak but the word." I mean, when you really read the Gospels, you could almost call them books of kindness, books of God's goodness. That's what gospel means, the good news. When we act like Jesus, we bring good into people's lives. When we don't act like Jesus, we bring our crap into people's lives. We bring our past, we bring our anger, we bring our wrath. And the whole idea is to put on the mind of Christ. In Matthew chapter 25, and in verse 33, boy, God loves us. And Jesus is talking about the return of the Son of Man, which is Christ. Verse 33, and he shall set the sheep on his right hand and the goats on his left. Then shall the king, that's King Jesus, say unto them on his right hand, come ye, blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Verse 35, for I was an hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. You gave me hospitality. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Verse 37, great question. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink, or a stranger, and took you in, or naked, and clothed you, or when saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came unto thee? Verse 40, and the king shall answer. You ought to highlight this with yellow marker in your Bible. And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, and he's really talking about the human race, ye have done it unto me. Because he's talking as the Son of Man. As much as you've done this to one of the least of my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Go to 1 John, please. Jesus is saying, the way we treat people is the way we treat him. Sometimes I'm not so nice to Chris, and I have to catch myself and stop myself in my tracks and say, wow, I'm treating Jesus like that. Sometimes I hear people be rude to a wait person at the restaurant or something and just be so rude, and I'm thinking, wow, you're one of the goats. You don't get it. You don't get it. All of mankind is God's creation. For God so loved the believers? You know, Christianity acts like that's what John says, John 3:16, but it says, for God so loved the world. That's when you begin to really arrive, is when your consciousness expands and you realize that those verses in Romans about living peaceably with all men apply to everyone. Not just the people you like, but to everyone. In 1 John chapter 4, some very illuminating verses, especially in light of this is the epistle that talks about fellowship and how to stay in fellowship with God, and tells us that God is love. Hello. But in verse 11, we read, beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Verse 12. No man hath seen God at any time. Do you realize that? Even Jesus didn't see God. He declared God. He knew him in his spirit. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwells in us and his love is perfected in us. Look, folks, God dumped his light, filled us with his light, so we can be the light of the world. We're supposed to be lighthouses, drawing other people to the harbor of God's love by being lights in this world, by manifesting his love one to another. Verse 20, if a man says, I love God, and hates his brother, and that word in the Greek is to think less of his brother, or judges him, or looks down upon him, he's a liar. For he that loves, it doesn't say like, he that loves not his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this is the commandment, We opened up with this commandment in Mark 12. And this commandment have we from him, that he who loves God loves his brother also. Matthew chapter 7 contains a lot of laws of life. And in verse 2 in Matthew 7, it says that you're going to be treated the way you treat others. It's the law of giving and receiving, the law of sowing and reaping. The standard that you use, whether you're judgmental of others or forgiving of others, is the same standard that's going to come back to you, especially from your fellow man. This is a law of life. It's called sowing and reaping. The law is that as we think and speak and act towards other people, it will come back to us in our life. You know who gets gossiped about the most on this planet? People who gossip. You know who gets a lot of anger thrown their way on this planet? The people who won't let go of their anger. Jesus said, you know, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Whatever we're in is what we're giving out. What we're giving out is what we're taking back in. Rufus Moseley. And it really comes back to something as simple and childlike as the golden rule. Simply do unto others as you would have them do unto you. When I find myself losing my temper or getting short-tempered with people or want to think evil of them, all I have to do is remind myself what a nincompoop I was when Jesus got a hold of me. What a complete wreck my life and I was when Jesus got a hold of me. And I can still be pretty nasty if I don't watch myself. You know, the real reward for being good, the real reward for being kind, is the act itself. The good it does for our own soul. Because at those times, we are God in action. We really are taking the place of Jesus Christ in this world. We really are living as He is. And number two, it shows other people just a little bit of God's light. Folks, how hard is it to see something good in this crazy world we live in? It's pretty dark. Duh, but here we are, the lights of the world, if we so choose to be that. We can give people a little relief from the pressure cooker of life just by a kind look, a kind word fitly spoken, to be generous to our spouse. And ultimately, like it says in Matthew chapter 5, it brings glory to God if you do it right. It brings glory to God. I used to have a poster in my room of a little girl holding a candle, and she was in front of a mirror, and it said, there are two ways to reflect the light, to be the candle or the mirror that reflects it. And that's why I want to let my light so shine before men that they can see my good works, because God, who is good, is my goodness in me. And I can point to God and glorify Him for whatever I might bring to their life. Life is a circle. You can't get out of it. God gives to us. He fills us up. We give it out to other people. They're not going to go home and kick the dog perhaps that night. And God is blessed because we blessed one more person, and God gives to us and we give out. And it's a beautiful circle of life. And that's why God said in Romans, it's the goodness of God that leads man to repentance. You know, you'd think from most of the pulpits, it's the fear of hell. No, it's the goodness of God that really leads man to genuine repentance. And let's get real. For most people on this planet, the only Jesus they're ever going to see is you. The only thing they're ever going to see is you. Most people don't want to manifest Jesus. They don't even think about it. And that's why Jesus said, if you give a child a cup of cold water, if you visit the fatherless, if you go about doing good, it completes that circle of love. Well done, good and faithful servant. And it makes our daddy look good. It is a win-win-win situation. You get blessed, they get blessed, God gets blessed. You get blessed back, hopefully the other person will go bless somebody else, God blesses more. It's just a beautiful harmonic way to live life. I'm telling you what, folks, the spirit world gets it. They get it. They get, the devil especially gets the power of good, which is why he's doing everything in his power, the devil, to make this world lousy quality, amoral, and feeling selfish towards everybody. It's all about me, me, me. He is the opposite of goodness. The devil is evil. But that's why one of the many ways we manifest God to the world, you and I, is simply treating people like he would treat them. And boy, this charity begins at home. I had a Nana, my Nana. I had two, Granny and Nana, two grandmothers. One was so awesome. One was so not awesome. She treated all of us kids so badly, talked down to us. It was always critical, was always tearing us apart. No matter what we did, it wasn't good enough. And I tell you what, the weird thing was, she was a nurse at Floyd Hospital. Everybody there loved Miss Kitty, Nana. They said she was the sweetest person they'd ever met. And I just used to think, well, who shows up in her apartment when I go see her? It's not that woman they talk about at work. She was a hypocrite. She put on a big face to make everybody think she was so kind and loving, and she was one miserable human being. And she took it out on the people closest to her, especially my daddy. Folks, everything has an energy wave. Everything gives off an energy. And, you know, I just want to be the kind of person that when I go in a room, I give off the energy of love. I help people relax. I want to say something that's going to edify that person. You know, our little waitress last week when we went out to dinner with some friends, I mean, before we were even into the meal, she's telling me her whole life story. Did it take away from the conversation I wanted to have with my guest? You know, in one respect it did. But here was a hurting person, and I don't know what me telling her about the love of Christ did for her, but I planted the seed. Now, everybody you're good to, they're not going to be kind back to you. Some of them are going to turn around and knife you in the back. And that's why it says in Galatians 6:9, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. God is the one who's going to bless us back for our giving, not necessarily people. He may work through people. But don't give because of quid pro quo. You know, we're not in this world to get thanks. We're in this world to give thanks. I'm going to say that one again. We're not in this world to get thanks. We're in this world to give thanks, to give glory to God. And please don't confuse this goodness I'm talking about, these kind actions, with codependency. That's a whole different, we're not going to get into that. That's a whole different teaching series. A codependent person is always taking care of others, but it's for selfish reasons. They're deriving their self-worth from the thank yous and the attaboys. People, codependency is the opposite of walking like Jesus Christ and imitating God. Codependency is a sad lack of self-esteem. And when you're a codependent person and you do good things, quid pro quo for what somebody's going to give you back, for the pats on the back and this and that and the other, it will leave you flat and empty, and you'll start saying, well, why even do good? Look, it doesn't get me anything. Well, you're just doing good, but for the wrong reason. And motivation is where God looks. What motivates your heart? Even giving done selfishly is the wrong kind of giving. It talks about that in Matthew 6, about the scribes and Pharisees did their good work so they could be praised of men. And God said, well, you lost your reward in heaven because you went around looking for praise from men. And I'm like, keep the praise of men. I want the reward of heaven. Folks, our self-worth comes from God, not people. But that's a whole nother class. I'm going to wrap it up here by saying, you know, my litmus test throughout the day is pretty simple. If I died tomorrow, would I regret today? Was there something I could and should have done for another person to help a human being, and I just didn't do it for the lame excuse that I was too busy? Is there something that I could have said that would have lifted somebody up? Or even worse, was there something I said that shut somebody's spirit, that closed down their spirit? I try to go to bed every night with a clean slate. I don't always make it, but my train has left the station and it's a lot cleaner today than it used to be. All I want to do, honey, is let my light so shine that people would see my joy, my happiness, the goodness in me, that fruit of the Spirit. They could pick on that fruit, the goodness in me, and glorify my Daddy in heaven. So I just close with this thought. Does your light so shine? Are you a light in your home? Are you a light in your workplace? Are you a light to others? Try it. You'll like it. For goodness sake. For goodness sake. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the joy of being your child and the joy of having something to give to people. And Father, the joy of a new day to live with you and love for you and to reach out and help a hurting world. God, you know that we have the message that will set people free, and I'm asking you to help everyone listening to this tape have on their mind more to witness, to receive, retain, release, to help be part of the solution of taking this world back and bringing it, at least for a while, help the pendulum swing back to joy and peace in our nation, because we're taking accountability for what we can do to make a difference. So I thank you, dear Father, for giving us such joy in the Lord and filling us with your good, which comes out of us as goodness. It's the best part of us. So Father, make that illuminate in our own hearts and show us the goodness that we can bring to other people. In Jesus' precious name, I thank you and praise you. Amen.